Glad we have a big God today. I'm like Brother James this morning. We know it takes a mother and a father to bring forth a child, and a husband and wife, man and woman, and to bear children. And God is not slack, and He's not hindered. He's not diminished in any way this morning. But I'm glad for the church, and He desires the church to come together and work together and love and spirit together and labor together this morning. It's good to be saved today, and I hope and pray that if you can't say that from the depth of your heart and really know what it means to be born again, I hope that before you leave here today, you can have a born-again experience in your life. I'm going to take some scriptures out of Matthew chapter 12 today, if you have your Bibles this morning. And I struggled today to try to figure out where God would have us to go. And knowing that it's Mother's Day, we've tried in the years past to preach about what a mother was and what a good mother is. And I've preached about in years past on the blessings of a mother. But I realized then also that not everybody in this world has a good mother. That not everybody has a good father. That there are those among us that that really have no relationship whatsoever with their mom or their dad. And that's sad to an extent, but and it really breaks your heart, especially to those that know how special and how wonderful that relationship can be between a son and a father, or a son and a mother, and a daughter and a mother, and a daughter and a father, and just to have that good relationship and that bond. But I'm going to preach today about a better family.
Amen.
I hope then, and we don't know how long we'll stand today, but I hope that you would just bear with me for a moment, because what you may not have, or what you may have in this world, whether it be good or whether it be bad, there is a better family.
Amen.
There's a better family for everybody, and I hope you get to know that and understand what I'm talking about, especially before this service ends, if you don't right now. But over in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, 46th verse, Matthew 12 and 46, the Bible says this: "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." And you can be seated this morning. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we find it not only in the book of Matthew, but we find it in Mark, and we find it in Luke as well. But really what we find here is Jesus is teaching among the people. He is preaching among those people, and he's trying to preach the kingdom of God. I'm amazed, and I always find that wherever Christ went, he taught and he preached about the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
He talked about the love of the Father. He talked about all that the Father had done in sending him. He talked about what he was going to do for mankind. He talked about us praying, and he talked about, obedience unto the command. He talked about all these things. He would take the things that they had in their life that they could understand, and this is what teaching in parables was, the things that they could comprehend and things that they could perceive on the natural side, he turned them into things spiritual to help them see the things that God had spiritually discerned and had manifested before them, so that they could have it for themselves. And here we find that Christ is teaching the people here, and while he is teaching, his mom and his brothers came out to see him, and maybe even possibly his sister, I don't know. But it says his mother and his brethren stood without, and they wanted to get his attention. So they were outside wherever he was, whether he was in a house or whether he was on the hillside or in the desert place. Listen, while he was there, here comes Mary, his mom, and here come his two brothers. We also need to be reminded here that we find in the scripture not too long, maybe prior to this, and I didn't look it up, it could have been afterwards, when Jesus went into Nazareth, and he went into that place where he was born, in the place of his upbringing, where he was, and the Bible says that he would have done great things in Nazareth, but because of their unbelief, that he could not do many works there, because people who were closest to him, his family, his kinfolks, and his friends, those that had watched him grow up and watched him grow into the man that he'd become. And listen, many of those perceived him as something, listen, that they had in their mind, but they did not understand him for who he was as the Son of God. And because of these things that they had perceived in their mind, he couldn't do a lot of works there. Because when he would try and he would desire to do things, they would say, "Is not this Joseph's son? He was a carpenter. This is the carpenter's son. This is Mary's son. We watched these people. We knew these people. He has grown up among us." Listen, I'm often amazed at how it is that those around you today will often be those who will keep you at bay the farthest when you begin to teach or begin to try to tell them about Jesus. There was a parable that I looked up, or rather my studies this morning. It said those closest to the church seem to be farthest away from God. And how sad it is that, hey, listen, many a times that our very own loved ones are the people that are hardest to reach. And listen, our own family, sometimes it's harder to reach them when it comes to testifying about the things that God has done. It's harder to get through to them the joys of heaven and the joys of God. It's harder to get through to them that they must be born again, that we're all born into sin. We're all born, hey, listen, into this world, yet we're outcast and separated and alienated from God. But oh, how good Jesus is, that if they only turn the heart, turn the life, hey, listen, and turn their mind toward God, how it is that salvation could be had by the simple act of obedience and the simple act of faith. And listen, I find here that while Jesus was in the crowd teaching, or maybe in the house teaching, rather than Mary or his own brother standing there listening to what he had to say, they were standing on the outside. And listen, and they were trying to pull him away from what he was sent to do. And while he desired to teach those among of the people that day, here was his mom and here was his brothers. And listen, and the word said, come to him and said, "Hey, they want to talk to you, but they want you to come away from where you are so that you can speak to them." Listen, I don't know. They may not have realized what it was or who he was. I can only know what the scripture says. And it said that Mary had pondered things in her heart. And I don't know at what point that she realized that truly who he was and the power that he had. And maybe it was after he rose from the grave. But here his brothers were. And they probably simply thought, "Well, there is our oldest brother again. And he has reached the age where he can go out and preach. And he is teaching, and he has disciples that follow him. But to us, he's still our brother. And that's all he'll ever be." Until John, or until Jude wrote later. Hey, listen, until his own brothers begin to write about him later in the scripture, where it said, "Beloved, we being the servants of Jesus Christ." Hey, at some point, they got born again. Hey, listen, I hope and pray today, I may not be much before you right now, but I hope the man I'm preaching to you about, the man I'm preaching at, hey, listen, telling you about, that someday, if I never amount to anything to you, I hope that Jesus, hey, listen, you have the relationship that you need to have with him to get from this life to the next one. Because the family you may have now, hey, listen, they may be great, they may be miserable, but I'm glad that God has a better family for every one of us today. And so as Jesus was here, and a word came, and they said, "Hey, your mom and your brothers are out here. They want you to break away from what you're doing." Hey, listen, Jesus didn't break away from the work of God. And you and I should never break away from the God of the things that God has purposed us in our life, no matter how close the individual is who desires to get our attention and break us away from these things. And listen, I don't know why I'm getting into all that, but I'm just
simply leave it right there. There is a work to be done. Hey, listen, God has purposed it, and we brought that up in Sunday school this morning. We have a purpose in our life, and my only purpose in life is to, hey, listen, live for God every day and do what God would have me to do every day and hope and pray. Hey, listen, in my doing that my light will shine out to a lost and dying world. Hey, listen, I know that sometimes, as I said already, those that we love the best, the love the most, our closest family are, hey, listen, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your children, maybe it's your grandchildren. Hey, listen, seems like they're the hardest ones to reach. You try to shine your light brighter to them, hey, listen, than you do anybody else. Oh, you're nice to everybody, but you try to lift up the name of the Lord and glorify God in everything that happens in your life to those closest around you, that they could see how good God is. But yet they seem to, day after day, to perceive just to let it go off of them like water off of a duck's back. But hey, listen, don't get weary in well-doing. Thank God, because I'll say this, the Spirit of God and the power of God can reach them when you and I cannot. I can only go so far and I can only do so much. But at the end of the day, let us lift their name up to God. Hey, listen, let's lay them at the feet of Jesus. Let's pick them up in our basket as they did in the book of Acts, and let's bring them where they need to be and lower them down. Let's, like the people did and that man who was lame on the cot, Brother Jim Perry, let's peel back the shingles off of the roof and let's lower him down at his feet. Hey, listen, and let him look up and let him see Jesus. Because when all else fails, hey, listen, it don't matter if they see me or you, but oh, let them see the Savior. And let them see the cross. Let them see an empty grave. And let them see the love of a Father and the blood of the Son. And let them realize that God sent His own Son so that they could have a better family. And they could have a better life than the one that they have right now. Because mark my word, friend, a lot of times in life you might think you have your best days are ahead of you, and you might think you've had some good days in this world. But if you live long enough in this world, you'll realize that you'll have a lot of heartache too. And at the end of the day, all those friends that you held to and all those things that you found pleasurable, they're all going to decay away and they're all going to fade. But God will never fade. God will never grow old. What I have in my heart is just as brand new today. Hey, listen, as I sit here almost 32 years later, he's still as brand new as he was the day I got saved. Thank God for what he's done for me. And so now let's get back to the scripture. What did Jesus tell them here? They said, they come to him, this man come to him, said, Jesus, your mom, your mother, and your brother, and they're out here, and they're standing without, and they desire to speak with you. As we said already, they should have made their way in to listen to what he had to say. But for whatever reason, they were outside where he was, and they were trying to pull him out. And Jesus understood this, and he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? I can look at today and I can say that I'm privileged to have my mom here today. I'm privileged to have my dad here today. Hey, listen, but not everybody has that privilege. Not everybody has the privilege of having their mom and their dad in their life. Not everybody has the privilege of having been raised in a home where their parents or maybe their grandparents talked about Christ and took them to the church and taught them the love of God. I preached a message years ago about what it was to have a good mother. And I preached this, man, I thought I preached it so plain and so simple about just good to have, just what it was to have a mother so that everyone could understood in the assumption that everyone had the same relationship with their mother that I had. Only to get done at the end, and some one of the ladies in the church, she come to me and she said, I never had any of that. My mother and I, we've just never been close. And I hardly even talked to her because I'm saved and she's lost. And they never took me to church. My parents never took me to church. They never taught me about Christ. They never told me about Jesus. They never taught me any of those things. I'll say this, if you've got a mother that took you to church or a grandmother that loves you enough to tell you about Jesus, you ought to thank God for what you have in your life. Because it is most precious. But I will say this, don't dwell on the past too long and get caught up in all your misery. Because even though you may not have a good earthly mother, I'm here to tell you that God has provided a spiritual mother to each and every one of us. One that loves us from the depths of her heart. One that will never forsake us or cast us out. One that will always be there ready to give us a sheltered place. And a place that we can come to where we can feel the love. Hey, listen, there's never been love like there is in the house of God. In the heart of the church, hey, listen, that is the mother of all that are born again. Hey, listen, how a mother labors for her children. How the church gets down and she prays one with another. Hey, listen, she'll pray all night if she has to. Hey, listen, she'll climb high mountains and walk through desert places if it means that her children are safe and her children are cared for and her children are provided for. Hey, listen, I'm thankful today that the church is still, hey, listen, the family of God. And as Jesus Christ looked around to those in the crowd, he said, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" And he opened up his hands and his arms and he said, "All you whosoever that do the will of my Father," he said, "is which is in heaven." He said, "You are my brothers, you are my sisters, and you are my mother." Hey, listen, why? Because he already knew who his Father was. We all have a heavenly Father. Hey, listen, he is the creator and the maker of all things. And he gave his church when Jesus Christ, hey, listen, died at Calvary. He betrothed the church, and the church became the wife, hey, listen, of Christ. And the church is our mother today. We have brothers and sisters, but we all are in a better family because we are born by the blood of Christ. Our Father is in heaven. Our mother is here in the earth. Hey, listen, I'm not talking about any church. I'm talking about the bride of Christ. I'm talking about the one that was betrothed. I'm talking about the one that Christ loved so much that he said, "I'll give my life for the church." Hey, listen, if you don't know what it is to have a wife or have a children or have children in your life, there comes a point. Hey, listen, you might be young sometimes when you're married, and you might not fully appreciate the love, and listen, that you have for the woman that you married. But if time stands and you stay true one to another, and that relationship fosters and it grows into something much deeper than it was when you were young. And listen, you get down in life and you'll know that you, and listen, you'd give your own life for your wife or your spouse or your children. That's a love that runs deep. And I'll say this, when we didn't love God, he loved us. And when there were no children born, Christ died for the church so that you and I could be brought forth into a better family. So that when Christ was given his life at Calvary, and he looked out over the crowd, and there was none that believed and none that stood, hey, listen, and none that would stand up for him that day, he just looked up to the Father and he said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." Oh, listen, and as God the Father turned his back on his own Son, as he completed the work at Calvary and he shed his blood and made the sacrifice so that you and I could be born into the family of God. So that as long as we're here, some of us here today, you had good mothers, you had good fathers, but they're gone. Time has taken them away. Death has come and taken them from you. And I know there's some of you here, and I won't name names, but it's been said just in the last couple of weeks, some of you here don't like Mother's Day because you just long to see your mom again. Maybe you long to see your grandmother again. Maybe you long to see your family members again. Hey, in this life we are separated. But in the better family that we have, the mother that we have, hey, listen, we're never separated from her.
That's right.
The church has been here. since Christ established it 2019 years ago. And listen, and when Peter walked out of the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and he was filled with the power of God, and he preached a message that you can be born again into a better family, and 3,000 souls were saved. Who is your mother? Who is your brother? Who is your sister? And those that were born again in Jerusalem, and those are my brothers, and those are my sisters, and we have the same mother. And listen, all these years, she's still here today. And though we may be separated physically, we are not separated spiritually. But we are all the same mother, and we are all born of the same birth, and we are of the same bloodline. Hey, listen, we sing that song. I claim kindred to Isaac and Jacob and Abraham. I'm a child of the King. Hey, listen, and my mother, she is royalty because, she was established and married. Hey, listen, betrothed by God Himself. Hey, listen, to bring forth children unto Him, so that you and I are sealed unto the day of redemption. And every man, woman, boy, or girl that makes their way to an altar and falls down on their knees and cries out for mercy. Hey, listen, Jesus told the woman, listen, that she worshiped what she knew not of. But He said, there's coming a day where you'll worship in spirit and in truth. The children of God worship in spirit and in truth. And as Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The only ones that are born of this mother are those that are born of the Spirit of God. You're a child of God not because your earthly mom or your earthly dad brought you to church. You're a child of God not because you have a Bible in your home. You're a child of God not because you come to church on occasion and you might even put some money in the offering plate. You're a child of God not because you do good works and you're nice to your family and you're nice to your neighbors and you're good to your friends. That don't make you a child of God. That makes you a good person possibly. Good moral living is good. There's nothing wrong with good moral living, but good moral living doesn't make you a child of God. You've got to be born into this. And you're not born into it naturally, you're born into it spiritually. Because our natural families that we're born into, though we may have wonderful families that love us deeply, if time stands, we will be separated. Death will separate everybody from one another. And you'll never get it back. If all you're leaning on is the natural side. Once we're separated, that's it. But I'm glad I have a better family in Christ Jesus. One that I'm born into, unlike the birth that I had. There's a song that they sang. I had a birth that I can't remember and one I can't forget. I can't remember when I was born. On October 17th, 1969, I do know that as a date on the calendar, and it might not mean much to some people, probably to most. I would imagine that somewhere, if they keep records like they used to, that there is something in the state of Ohio, or maybe even at Kettering Memorial Hospital, where they filed it away, that there was a certificate of live birth for Victor Travis Burkhart Jr. But I don't remember that. I don't remember that. But on a Sunday morning at 17 years old, at an old-fashioned altar, I remember being born into a better family. And that's a birth I'll never forget. I can forget about a lot of things in life, and trust me, I do. The older I get, the more I forget, it seems. And I've watched loved ones sit on their deathbed and not even be able to open their eyes or not even be able to utter a word. But yet you let the Lord be talked about, or you let Christ be mentioned, and all of a sudden a trembling hand will raise up and a smile will come on their face because they have a birth that they cannot forget. And they know they're part of a family that is far better than anything in this world. And as good as our families are, and hey, listen, as good as my family is, my parents and my Hey, listen, I don't have my grandparents anymore, and my wife, and my wife has her parents, and she's been blessed with that, but she don't have her grandparents anymore. Hey, listen, as good as they are, there's still something more precious about coming right here in the household of God and gathering with my brothers and my sisters. Hey, listen, and being amongst my mother and my father. Because when my mother and my father come in, hey, listen, and come together, and the power and the spirit begins to flow through the church, there's nothing more precious than being in the family of God and knowing that you're in a better place no matter what's going on in the world. You've got a better family. I thank God for my better family. And as Christ looked around and he... Imagine how people must have felt. When he looked around, he raised his arms and he said, "You are my brother. You are my sister. And you are my mother. Those of you that do the will of God, you're part of that better family." Are you a part? I'm part of the better family. I can celebrate Mother's Day. Hey, listen, I already told my mom Happy Mother's Day. I texted her this morning. I got up and I went where my wife was getting ready for church, and I peeked in and I said, "I'm going to be the first to tell you Happy Mother's Day." And she said, "You're too late." Because my mom already texted her. And I said, "Well, let's pretend you didn't get that. And you got mine first." But I was the first one to hug her. But as good as that is, I'm glad I have a mother that I can come to. Hey, listen, and I can bring my cares to. And who's always praying for me. Amen. You know, when death separates you from your mom, she'll never be able to pray for you anymore. But no matter how old you get in life, your mother will always be. Your spiritual mother, she'll always pray for you. Amen. She'll pray for you. Hey, listen, I know we got to come to close. Brother James, come get a song. We've got people in the land today, they're saying, "Well, when they passed on, we ought to be praying for them." Hey, listen, when they're passed on, it's too late to be praying for them. You need to be praying for them now.
Yeah.
Be praying for them here. I want to see them part of the better family. You want to know why? Because there's a homecoming day coming. We all like homecomings. Usually you try to, people have those family reunions together. They have a homecomings or family, whatever you want to call them. They'll gather in the park and they'll bring, everybody bring a covered dish, and they try to get the aunts and the uncles and the brothers and the sisters and the moms and the dads and the grandparents. They get them all there and they get them for one day and they spend a couple hours and everybody gets wore out and they talk about how good of a time it was, and then they go off when they try to schedule for the next year. The only problem is the next year comes and some are missing. Some might not make it. Some may have passed on. But I'm going to tell you about a homecoming that's coming someday. I'm going to tell you about a family reunion that's coming someday. Hey, listen, we're not going to gather. We're going to gather there for a day, but it's going to be one eternal day according to Scripture. That day is never going to end. We're going to be there forever and ever and ever. What are you going to be doing? We're going to be rejoicing. We're going to be shouting on the hills of glory. We're going to be singing the praises of the Lamb. Hey, listen, we're all going to be together with our better family. And we'll never be separated again. No more departure. Just one continual day of joy and celebration. I hope and pray that you can leave here today and say, "I'm a part of that better family." And no matter how bad things get here, no matter how things get turned upside down, or no matter how bad my day is, I know that I've got a better place. And I know that I've got a better home. As I've said it before, if you're lost, what you have today is as good as it gets. And if you're saved, what you have today is, hey, listen, it just gets better from here. It's just going to get better for those that are children of God. For you that are lost, things are going to take a dark turn. You that are lost, you don't... Well, I could say you have a family. I mean, the Bible says that Jesus told the Pharisees there, he said, "Your father's the devil." I mean, who wants a father like that? I mean, a father that's the father of all lies. The deceiver. The one that knows no love. But he only desires to kill and destroy and steal. That's not a family. That's not a family. But yet if you're lost, that's what you're a part of. And you have a place. Not made for you, but you have a place. If you go that way. But I'm trying to encourage you. I want to help you today. You don't have to die lost. You don't have to die a sinner. You don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to have a lake of fire to look forward to in outer darkness, because Christ gave His life.
Amen.
The blood was shed. Hey, listen, you have there is a spiritual mother. There is a spiritual woman in the church who desires to bring forth children. And when we come together and we pray one with another, hey, listen, and the brothers and sisters and we all come together, we can pray and we ask that God send conviction on the hearts of those that are lost. Conviction is that thing that sets up inside of you, that draws you, that pulls you, that lets you realize that God is real and that God loves you and that Christ died for you. And all you've got to do to be born into the family of God is come and have faith.
Amen.
Just come and believe. Notice what Christ said. He said, all those that do the will of the Father, all those that do the things that I've spoken unto them. He didn't tell you have to do a lot. You just have to come. And He said, you are my brother, you are my sister, and you are my mother. In other words, you are part of the family. That's all it takes, is coming and having faith and believing. Will you believe today? Won't you believe? Not with your head, but in your heart. There's a difference.
Amen.
And believing Him in your head and believing Him in your heart. You got to believe from the heart to the saving of the soul.
Amen.
While we stand right now. You want to be a part of a better family? You can be. You just got to come and pray. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'll say this, I was born in this world and I bear the attributes of my mother and my father, my earthly mother and my earthly father. There are characteristics that I have that I had no control over, but they were given me through genetics. It's just the way it is. But I will say this, that when you are born into the family of God, you do the things and the works of God, that you take on the appearance of a child of God. And it's not something that you can do on your own. It's just the way it happens. You're born into the family of God. Your desires, your wants, your wishes, your heart changes. Your actions and your deeds are no longer those of yourself, but they are the things of God. These are the characteristics that separate an individual to where the world can look at him and say, there's something different about you. The Bible says that Paul and those men were in Antioch, and those people in Antioch saw and they noticed and they said, there's something different about those fellas. The Bible says they called them Christians. You want to know why they called them Christians? Because they had the attributes and the actions of Christ. They were doing the work of the Father. Their speech had changed. Their heart had changed. They had a love about them. They had a care about them. I want you to know this today. You might be here and you might say, Victor, nobody really cared about me. I mean, that's really what that young lady was telling me years ago. And it was sad and it broke my heart, but it's true. I mean, we look around today, we see children, homeless, and parents are strung out. I mean, they'd rather put a needle in their arm than put food on the table for their own child. And we live in a society where people would rather go hide in a bottle and just consume things in their own self rather than worry about if their children are clothed or taken care of. I mean, that's the world we live in. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be disgusting, but that's the world we live in.
And I'm telling you that God has a better family. God's desire, since I've been born again and saved, Scripture tells me, said God said, I know my thoughts towards you. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of love. I've got a better end. God has already sealed it up. He knows what my end is. He knows things from the beginning to the ending. You might have been raised in a miserable place, but you don't have to stay there, and you don't have to wallow in it. You don't have to worry about it, and you don't have to fret about it, because all that's laid aside. Apostle Paul, in one scripture, after he thought about those things that he had done to the Christians, he had murdered people, he had killed people, he had consented to people being put to death because they had a testimony for Jesus Christ. But there come a time in Paul's life, he said, I forget about those things that are behind me, and I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in God, of God. In other words, I forget about the past and I move forward. If Satan can keep you wallowing in the past, that's exactly where he'll keep you. But I'm trying to preach to you about a Savior and a love of God that'll move you forward. That'll take you to a better place. That'll put you in a better place. And when Satan reminds you of the things in the past, you'll have a place to stand on and say, yeah, that's maybe what I once was. Maybe that's what I once did. But let me tell you about the time that I got born again and I became a part of the better family. You're no longer my father. I've got a heavenly father. I'm in a better family. I've got a better family. How about it? Simple act of faith. One step toward an altar. Turning your heart over. Just giving him everything. Last verse. As far as I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know what's going to happen in this body? That was born into this world to Victor and Janet Burkhart, they're going to lay me in the grave someday. You want to know what's going to happen to that soul that was born to Jesus Christ, that was born unto the Father, when that day I got born again? It's going to come out resurrected, holy, put on a glorified body, and live forever and ever in the glory of heaven. I'm going to see him face to face. I'm going to look at him. They say sometimes there are no tears in heaven. It's not what it really says. It said he'll wipe away our tears. For him to wipe away our tears, that means I'm going to be shedding some tears. Oh, there ain't going to be tears of sadness, tears of sorrow. I believe there'll be tears of joy. Tears of rejoicing. Not weep in heaven anymore for the dead, for the sick. They won't be there. No death will be there. No sickness will be there. Just joy. Thank God. Thank you, Brother James. God bless the church today. Let's all have a seat real quick. And anybody have a testimony, anything on your heart? We're not going to keep you.